Good morning to each and every listener of the broadcast. I'm happy to be coming your way. First, I'd like you to consider this poem. What is life? 'Tis but a vapor that remains but one brief day. Though our hands are stretched to stay it, it must quickly pass away. Fleeting are its joys and gladness, though we fain would hold them fast. Nothing lingers save a memory of the things that now are past. Yet our life is what we make it, more than what our lot may be. Mild and gentle, sweet and loving, like a sunbeam all may see. Or it may be hard and bitter, filled with envy, hate, and woe, seeking only vain self-glory as we tread our path below. If our motive be to lighten other souls oppressed by care, we shall find that our own burdens are made easier to bear. If to shed on those around us gleams of hope to cheer them on, we behold those rays reflected, turn our darkness into dawn. Life is not a dream of fancy, not a worthless stretch of years, to be squandered in our folly, then to end in bitter tears. But a time for earnest striving, for the right, the good, the true. Helping everyone around us, cheering hearts our journey through. Life is full of deepest meaning, hidden neath the gilded dross. But its depth is only fathomed in the shadow of the cross. Could we feel that every action, every thought and word would be witnessed for or against our spirits throughout all eternity? Could we realize the weight of each day's work for good or bad? Would our conscience acquit us? Would the knowledge make us glad? Or that voice within the bosom, would it speak but to condemn for the life and example lived before our fellow men? Life means much, and could we value every moment as it speeds on so quickly past recalling, would we spend in evil deeds days and months to us so precious, time we cannot value now, as we shall when life is ebbing and death's dew is on our brow? When we near that dark, cold river, shall we look back with regret on a life far worse than wasted that we wish we might forget? Noble deeds and brave endeavor bring no pangs in coming days. Evil has its own requital. Folly ends in sorrow's ways. Friends, I tell you, life is not an empty dream to be wasted and squandered and just live after one's own fancy. But there's a purpose and plan for each of us. I like to think of life being this way, that God has a purpose and a plan for every life. There's something for you to do and for me to do. And we can use it if we will. We can build a life that will glorify our heavenly Creator and our Maker. It'll make us glad, it'll make Him glad, and it'll cheer others along the way if we'll just get started right. But in thinking of building, you know, there's quite an art to building. In this city of Guthrie where we live, there are quite a few old buildings that were built back before 1900. And so some of them are approaching the 100-year mark in their age. So they are not built like buildings are these days. And sometimes, oh, the merchants want to fancy up their storefronts, and they'll change up those old buildings, try to cover them up. And you know, then sometimes folks decide, well, say, that's a pretty nice old building. There are things about it that is not found in the newer structures. And so then they take pride in the old building. Well, be that as it may, but there was a lot of work done on them, and quite a work of art. So, friends, the people in the years to come, those who know of us or read about us or hear about us, Our lives are going to leave an impression in this world, and I hope that you and I will build on a good foundation. Now, in any building of any importance, the first thing is the foundation. There are three things about a building of quite a bit of importance about it. Number one, the foundation. Number two, the material. And number three, the workmanship. I'd like to talk first about the foundation. Now, in this godly living, we have to have a foundation to build on. In Psalms 127 and verse 1, we find these words which say, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." So, the sooner we realize that we've got to have God's help in this building, unless God helps us to build, it certainly will be worthless and just of no importance at all, just after our own fancy. But if we'll build according to the plan that God has for us, then it can be a thing of beauty and of eternal lasting. It just go right on through the ages to come. But notice this scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 11 and 13. 1 Corinthians 3, that is, verses 11 and 13. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Now, there's no question about it. There's no other foundation that you can build on that will last. Christ is the foundation. He's the cornerstone. He's the stone which the builders rejected. And now he's ascended into the heavens and sitting there at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for his people. Now, the only way to build a building that will glorify him is to build upon that foundation, Jesus Christ. In fact, and Simon Peter answered and said, this in Matthew 16 and verse 16 and then a part of 18. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so Jesus recognized that God had revealed this to Peter. And he went on to say, "And upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Oh, friends, did you know that God has a church in the world today? Well, he does. People talk about an invisible church, but I'm talking about one that is visible. God's people make up his church, and they are certainly visible, and as they manifest the fruits of the Spirit and live and walk after the ways that God would lead them, that is the active church working in the world today. Now, regardless of what people may profess, that doesn't make them the church of God unless they're measuring up to the standard. Another verse here in Matthew 7, Matthew 17 and verse 4 and 5. This is when the disciples were upon the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus was transfigured before them, and they saw Moses and Elias, and I guess Peter didn't quite know what he was saying. And said, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee." See, he wanted to do some building. "One for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now, Moses and Elias had served their days and their purpose, the law and the prophets, in bringing us to the new covenant, the new testament in Christ. And so now God wanted them to know that they were not living in the past under the law or living after the prophets, but they had been brought to Christ and they were to hear him. And, of course, God was well pleased in him. Now, he is the author of the true sanctuary, the true tabernacle of God. In Hebrews here 8:2, we find this verse, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Hebrews 8:2. Now, there's no such thing as building a church other than what is builded already. Christ built his church, and he set it up and put it in operation, and I'm glad it's in the world today. So now we're going to be judged as to what sort of material we use and what sort of workmanship we are put into this building. Another scripture here in Jeremiah 18:7-10 says, "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit it." Jeremiah 18:7-10. And so, friends, I would like to encourage every one of you to build upon this foundation, Christ Jesus. Put good material into your life and into your character. Put workmanship into it. Anything worth doing, as the old saying goes, is worth doing right. So may the Lord help you, and may I encourage you to build as Nehemiah. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And then again, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." That's Nehemiah 2 and verse 18. Then it goes on to say in 20, "Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build." Friends, let us arise and build for God as for long eternity. Our Father, bless the message this day as it goes out over the airwaves, to the good of every heart, and for that which is accomplished, we'll surely give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, friends, for your time. Be with us again next Sunday, same time, same station. Until then, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.